I've been in a series, for those of you that are new, a lot of new faces, welcome this morning. Been in a series, this is, to me, one of the most important things that I preach here, the Lord's ever showed me, is we're talking about adoption. And Jesus, we started this series, for those of you that are new with us, we started this series about a month or 4 or 5 weeks ago maybe, and in a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, the Lord just spoke to me and he says, I'm never going to leave you. I said, okay, I know that. I know that, Lord, and that's so powerful. We sang about it this morning, right? But then immediately, as I pondered that for just a moment, he immediately said, I won't leave you as orphans. And I knew that was in Scripture, right? So I looked it up, and you know, that is what Jesus says to his disciples, my beloved, right before he ascends to the throne, sitting at the right hand of God, right? He says, I won't leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. But we know that Jesus is not who comes technically, right? It's he sends the Holy Spirit, who Paul calls the Spirit of adoption. And years ago when I saw this, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, this is the problem. You are all spiritual orphans. Every human being on the planet, if we don't know Jesus, we are spiritually orphaned. We do not have a father. Amen. Even though we're made in the image of God and all those things, but when we come to Jesus, he sends his Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, into our hearts by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. And so this whole teaching was talking to me. He says, just look how orphans live, how they think. And he says, the Lord says to me, son, spiritually, the church is full of saved, going to heaven people still living with an orphan mindset. Amen. Last Sunday, we talked about shame. How many people got touched by the Lord last Sunday? Laid some shame at the altar. Amen. Shame is not your portion. Jesus hung on a cross naked, y'all, to take our shame on him. Amen. This morning, see, it's funny. Last Sunday, I was going to preach about shame and fear in one sermon. And I got looking into shame, I was like, no, I ain't gonna fit all that in. So this morning we're gonna talk about fear. Fear, everybody say fear, is not, come on church, is not my portion. Fear is not my portion. We can live free of fear. I say this all the time. It does not mean that scary things will not come at you. But when things come at us that are scary, my beloved, we do not need to shrink back in fear. We should rise up in faith and boldness and say, okay, I've made it through all that, so I'm going to make it through this too. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. A little bit of review here, but I want to move on. We're going to stay right in Hebrews 2. Probably for the last Sunday, and then we'll move on to another portion of this series. For it was fitting for him, verse 10, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through what, church? No, y'all so scared? Come on, church. Through what? Sufferings. Everybody say suffering. Suffering. Jesus was perfected through suffering. Amen. Right as we're finishing up our time of musical worship there, this is another section out of Hebrews 12, which we looked at last Sunday, just came to my mind. He's just talking about discipline and training of the Lord, but he says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame would not be thrown out of joint, but rather would be healed. He says, you do that. You do it. Can I get an amen? We have the ability to straighten out some of the things that we do in life. Amen? Verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from church what? Say it all together. Come on, y'all. One Father. For which reason he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them or us brethren. And I just got to tell you what, church, I have been grinding on this for 2 weeks. And it's like, I knew this, but it's like, you ever know something and then you know something a little bit more? right? You ever like know something? Okay, I can quote that scripture. I know, okay, cool, I know that. But then it hits you in your heart and you're like, wow, I don't think I've ever really grabbed onto that one as like, wow. Jesus, no matter what you have ever done, no matter what you may ever do, Jesus will never be ashamed to call you brethren. That's hard to wrap our heads around, ain't it? Because some of us know what we're doing. Right? The truth of the Word of God is that Jesus, no matter what, church, is not ashamed to call you brethren. He says, come on in. Amen? The Lord spoke to me this week, and this is what he said. Listen to this. It's powerful. Jesus will never be ashamed to call us brethren, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. And there's where we stumble. Is that right? We stumble because we think, well, gosh, look at what I've done. Look, I did this, and I did this, and I, you know, whatever. It's like that. He says, stop looking at what you've done and start looking at what I've done. Can I get amen? If we get hung up on what we're doing, we're all in trouble. But if we start fixing our eyes on what he's done, right? Did any of you save yourselves? Nobody. I didn't think so. Anybody sanctify yourself? Nope. Anybody heal yourself? Nope. Anybody deliver yourself? No, none of us did nothing for ourselves except surrender our hearts to Jesus, which, by the way, is a process. It's an event and then a process for the rest of your life. Welcome to the journey. Amen. We have to stop getting hung up, church, in our weaknesses, shortcomings. You will have shortcomings till the day you die. Let's just get over that and stop beating ourselves up about it. It's like in our weakness, his strength is made. Come on, church. Perfect. He is okay with the fact that I don't know, I can't get everything done. Is that all right? Let's go down to verse 14. Again, we talked about shame last week, but I want to talk about fear this morning. Hebrews 2, again, just verse 14. Therefore, since the children, this is where our brother Wayne was 2 Sundays ago with Teen Challenge. Again, powerful time. I love those guys so much. But therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through what, church? Death, he might render, we're going to say this again this Sunday, render what? Powerless. Ever say it again? Powerless. One more time, church, nice and loud. Powerless him. Who's him right there? The devil. Jesus, through his death, rendered powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Oh, pastor, the devil made me do it. No, he did not. No, he did not. Amen. He can't make you do nothing. The Bible says that we're drawn away by our own lusts and enticed. Guess what? Anybody saved in here and still got some, and lust is not sex, everybody. Lust is, I want that right now. Anybody ever have any lustful thoughts after you got saved? When there's a box of, when there's a thing of Oreos in the fridge. Can I get it, man? Church, here's truth. Truth. The devil has been rendered powerless. See, the reason we don't like that in the church is because we like to blame the devil for why our lives are messed up. Isn't that right? But you know what? Can the devil attack you? Can the devil tempt you? Obviously, yes, but he cannot control you. If you have died with Christ, you're identified with the likeness of his death, you've been raised in the likeness of his resurrection, the devil cannot make you do one thing. He could throw something at me that's like, oh, look at that over there, right? We're like the dogs from that movie, Squirrel, right? We get distracted by stuff. We're looking over here. The scriptures tell us clearly. When you hear a voice telling you, don't look left, don't look right, but look this way. This is the way, says the Lord. Walk ye in it, right? We got to hear that little voice in our heart saying, stop looking at this stuff. Stop looking over here. Stop looking over there. Stop listening to that. Turn the news off.
Amen.
Praise God. There's a country song's line that says, turn on the good times, turn off the TV. Amen. I heard it and I was like, that's a good idea. Verse 15, let's look at it. And might, what church? Free. Everybody say free.
Free.
Free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham, speaking about Jesus specifically right there. But this is, you got to see this, church, not descendants with an S on the end. He's not talking about us yet. He's talking about the seed of Abraham. The Greek word there is seed, not S as in plural, but seed as in one. What he's talking about is that this is God the Father helping Jesus as a human. We need to understand, most of us know the scripture that Jesus was tempted in all ways in which we're tempted and yet is without sin, except then we get tempted by stuff and we're like, I don't think Jesus would understand this one, though. Well, you know, he did live 2,000 years ago and they didn't have iPhones back then. Church, look, if we lived 2,000 years ago, we'd have plenty of things to get us messed up, just like we do now. Can I get in? Well, if I was right with Jesus, I would have followed him with all my heart. No, you wouldn't have. Want to know how I know that? Because we're people, and we don't change. Yeah? Is that all right? Therefore, verse 17, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren, that's us, in, look at church, say it with me. All things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was what, church? Tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. I said this last time, I must say it again. Fear will always lead to slavery. You cannot be a slave and a son. You cannot be a slave and a son, right? If you have said yes to Jesus, you are no legally in the kingdom of God, you are no longer a slave, you are a son. You've been adopted, papers have been signed, it's a done deal. The problem is, my beloved, we are still thinking like we're in Egypt. Right? Said this a few weeks ago, just review and tying it all together here, right? Think about this. God delivers Israel from Egypt. The Pharaoh's army is destroyed when the Red Sea collapses on them. Pharaoh, the power of Pharaoh is gone. Can I get amen, right? Egypt is no longer a problem except in the minds of God's people. We should have stayed in Egypt. We should have stayed in Egypt. We should, and that climaxes with this statement that they make. They said, let us appoint a new leader who will take us back to Egypt. God's like, get out of the way. I'm going to kill them all. And Moses cries out, no, God, you can't kill your own people. Right? Church, we do the same thing. We start thinking, oh my gosh, I thought the preacher told me that if I got saved, life was going to be better. Get a better preacher to listen to then. Life will be worth it. Amen. Life will be worth it. Living for God will be worth it. I didn't say it's going to be easier. It's going to be worth it. Everybody say it's worth it. Right? He's worthy of us lining our lives up with his word and his ways. It's an act of worship, church. Can I get amen? Right? It's denying myself and taking up my cross daily and following him.
Yeah.
Yeah? Fear will always lead to slavery. The enemy, my beloved, let's just be honest here. Raise your hand. Come on. Is the enemy good at throwing things at us that make us afraid? For sure. Right? How many people get the rumors at work? Oh, there's layoffs coming. Anybody get that one? How does that make your heart feel? Oh. Right? How many people go to the doctors and the doctor said, oh, we found something. Boom, heart, boom. We look at the bank account and we go, oh, no, yikes, boom. I just had to spend quite a bit of money on my car last week to fix some stuff. I had a dream last night that the check engine light came back on. I got in my car this morning, pulled into ShopRite on the way here to get some cookies, and the check engine light was on. I was like, I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. I'm going to drive this car off a bridge in about 4 seconds. I got 3 payments left. I'm like, this thing is not breaking down in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Right? Missy was driving through Terreville the other day in my car, and some lady was parked on the side of the road, parked, and decided to just pull a U-ey. No blinker, right in front of Missy. I'm like, that car will not get into an accident when I'm about to pay it off in the name of Jesus. I decree angels round and about that vehicle. You're not stealing no more money from me. Amen. Another statement here, church. Our desire to control things is nearly always an indicator we're living in fear. How many people like to control things? Don't lie, y'all are in church. How many people like, especially things that we think are just supposed to work automatically?
Yes.
Like, you stick the key in the car and hit the key and nothing happens. And you're like, oh, brother. Right? The heart, again, boom. Oh, what is, dude. Our desire to control things is almost always an indicator that we're living in fear. The Lord told me a long time ago, he said, son, 99% of your life is completely out of your control.
Yeah.
Completely. We have this illusion of control.
Yeah.
Can I get amen? How many people, you ever get one of these, like you, our old house, one time I woke up middle of the night, it was in the wintertime, in the middle of the night I wake up, and I hear like, I think I'm laying there in bed, I think I hear running water. And I'm like, pretty sure there's nothing actually on that's supposed to be on. And so I get up and I go out to the upstairs bathroom and there's water coming out under the door. If you don't know anything about bathrooms, that water's not supposed to go that way. I open the door and there's water cascading through the wall and the ceiling meet. The water is pouring through this like there's a fire hose in there into the bathroom. And if there's standing water on the floor, I'm just like, I just ran downstairs, grabbed like some plastic stuff I had and like channeled it into the bathtub and went back to bed. But it went right through the bathroom floor, into the kitchen, through the recessed lighting. There's gallons of water on the floor. I soaked it all up and I'm going to bed. I ain't got time for this. We are under an illusion, my beloved, that we are in control of things. Can I get amen? Now, when the Lord told me that, that didn't feel good. But do you know what he told me very shortly after that, like within just a few seconds? He said, but I am in control. I am in total control of absolutely everything. I ended up getting my roof. The reason that my house was leaking is the roof was put on wrong. So we had the roof redone. I happened to have the money to do it. We're like, well, I thought you were blaming God for a miracle. Yeah, there's a miracle I actually had money. I've learned to be really grateful when something happens and I'm like, wow, I actually have money to pay for that. Praise God. See, we think that, oh, I'm the one that made all that money. Well, okay, you went to work and stuff, but come on, church. How many of y'all go to work and you still live in paycheck to paycheck? Come on, God will deliver you from that. if you're willing to do the right things. Amen. Is this all right? I don't want to mess too much with folks. If you have ever felt, or me, have we ever felt like we've successfully controlled something, it's probably because it wasn't actually out of control in the first place. I'm going to say that again. If any of us have ever felt like we've controlled something, it's probably because it wasn't actually out of control in the first place. Amen. And if we failed to control the outcome of something, it's because God is trying to get us to understand that we were never intended to control it in the first place. You know what you can control, church? You have 100% right to control this. Ready? Put your hand on your forehead. That's what you can control right there. That's it. You have authority over your own mind. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? You don't know the crazy stuff I thought. I think sometimes. Well, y'all don't know the crazy stuff I think sometimes. Right? But my Bible says that we can take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Is that right? Yeah. Right? Does that mean that all the crazy stuff's not going to jump into your head sometimes? Come on, church. Anybody have crazy thoughts jump in your head sometimes? Where on earth did that come from? Right? I tell you what, I had this one time. I was just probably 2 years into pastoring this church. I've told this story before, but got some new folks. I was driving, took a drive one day. Me and Missy, my wife, was up on the keyboard here, and our two big girls were little. We went for a drive one day, like this time of year, beautiful day out. We go for a drive in the country on my day off, get some coffees. They all fall asleep. I'm having a great afternoon, man. It's beautiful out. And this thought pops into my head. What are you going to do if the church doesn't make it? And I went, I don't know what I'm going to do if the church doesn't make it. Church, not catching that thought and grabbing onto it and saying, whoa, 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 whoa. The church is doing just fine. Shut up and go away. I grabbed onto that thought and I entertained it. And I'm telling you, church, within 5 minutes, I was in a full-blown panic attack, pulled the car over, I'm sobbing. Hopelessness was just all over me. I could feel like weight on me. Despair. Oh my God, the church is going to close. What are we going to do? Oh my God. I didn't finish college. All these thoughts. What am I going to do? I failed as a man. I failed as a husband. I failed as a pastor. And then I was like, wait a second. Did your church close? And I was like, shook it off. Like, what on earth was that? Anybody ever experienced something like that? Fear, say this with me, church, fear is not my portion. Fear is not an emotion. Fear, come on, church, is not an emotion. It's a spirit. Fear is an attack of the devil. Fear is an attack of the devil. You know, we need to stop. You know what another one is? I'm just going to hit it while we're talking about it. Anxiety is a weapon of the devil. Anybody struggle with anxiety? Let's just be real. We all, at some times, right? We get worked up. We get anxious about something. Right? Fear and anxiety are like kissing cousins. Worry is a third cousin or one cousin twice removed or something. Can I get an amen, right? When we start looking into the future, assuming something bad is going to happen, worry, anxiety, fear, it starts getting a grip on us. Can I get an amen? We start looking at the future with trepidation. We start looking at the future with oh no, what's going to happen? Oh, instead of looking at the future with courage and confidence and vision and faith and hope and trust, we look at it and say, oh no, what's going to happen? The sky's falling. Ah! Now, church, what some of us right here this morning have gone through or are going through or will go through some really serious stuff. I'm not trying to make light of that. What I am trying to say is God is bigger than whatever you have gone through, are going through, or will go through. God is bigger. I've come through some stuff already, and I'm like, look, y'all, He ain't killed me yet. Is this all right? I want to show you something here. Verse 16, maybe 15, right? So 15, he's going to, this is what Jesus, among many things, my beloved, Jesus came to free us from fear. Do you see that? Straight in the Word of God, he's to free us from the fear of death, which we were enslaved to our entire lives. Can I get amen? But look at verse 16. Assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but to the descendant of Abraham, right? Which is eventually us. Can I get amen? Right? Jesus had to be made like his brethren. Everybody say his brethren, right? Not sinners. He's his brethren. You got to catch that, right? Every time you do something, every time something hits you and you feel like you're being alienated from God, that's a lie. Jesus calls you brother. Jesus calls you sister. Jesus says, you are family. No matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life, I call you family. Amen. That's powerful, church. You got to catch it, right? He was made like us in all things so that, or to say so that, he might become all merciful, right? What does merciful mean? It's all right. How many people have ever made a mistake in their life? Okay, raise your hand, y'all. Come on. What do you want? Do you want people to come at you with harshness or with mercy? We want mercy, right? So if we want mercy, that means we got to give mercy. Is that right? Whatever we give, it'll be given back to us. Is that okay? So Jesus says he's a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, right? He himself was tempted in what we suffer so that he might come to the aid. But here's what I found, a couple things interesting. The phrase come to the aid of is one word in the Greek. And what it means, my beloved, is to take hold of. Isn't that it's a different picture, right? We can come to the aid of somebody, right? If this young, good-looking man in the front row here, if I come to his aid, I can just be like, yo, here's $5, bro. I hope it works out for you. But the Greek word, my beloved, means I'm taking hold of him. I'm grabbing onto him. I'm picking him up. I'm supporting some of the burden that he's under. I'm taking some weight off of his life. This is what Jesus is doing. He is going to take hold of us when we're being tempted. Is this all right? I'm skipping my notes a little bit. So here's what we got to catch here. What we really want to do when we think of God helping us, and we heard a great testimony from Christina here this morning, right? Should we pray in faith and expectation? 100%. I'm not going to deny that for one moment. But as I said a few weeks ago, church, think about this. Most of the times, if we're honest, we pray with an expectation already in mind of how God should do it. Right? Now again, should we lay hands on sick folks and expect God to heal them? Obviously. But here's what I mean. We when we pray, prayer should be an act of faith. Amen, right? Yeah. Prayer should be a declaration of God's word. Amen. But prayer should also be an act of surrender. We sang that other song, "All Your Ways Are Not Our Ways." Right? God will not, at times, my beloved, do things the way that we think that he should. Can I get amen? Right? And lots of times when we pray thinking, I'm effectively like, I'm praying, but I'm trying to steer God here. Right? God, you better do it this way. You better go over here. You better, don't you see what's going on? Don't you see this and that and all these things, right? Our prayer, my beloved, is like, look, we know God sees it. We know what's going on. We're to agree with him, agree with his word, declare it on the earth, and just say, okay, God, we trust you with this. Is that all right, church? I've heard many preachers talk about like this. How many of you think about this? When we first got saved, you would pray and it would happen. Pow! Anybody experience that? You're a new Christian. It's like you pray and just, man, it's like every time you open your mouth, pow, pow, it's like. But then as we grow a little bit and mature, we start praying and we're like, wait a second, nothing happened. Well, if we think about raising children, when we have babies at home and they make a little squawk, we come running because we're not sure what's wrong. Is that right, church? But if we want our children to grow and be mature and successful, we cannot just spoon-feed them all the time, every time they make a squawk. At some point, we need to teach them, look, part of life is waiting for things and being patient and being learning to like understand that sometimes there's a process here. Not everything's just going to happen when you want it to. Is that all right? So we kind of tie this back in here. I want to show you something that I think is really important. We think of temptation as sin. Is that okay? First of all, temptation is not sin. That's good news for somebody this morning. Just because you're tempted didn't mean you sinned yet. One lady preached here a long time ago in our church. She's like, it's not the first second that gets you in trouble. It's the second second. Can I get amen? The first second is when that weird thought catches you, right? It's the second second that I go, wait a second, what am I doing with that thought, right? Well, am I going to respond to that? Am I going to whatever? Can I get amen? Temptation is not sin. That's an attempt from the enemy to try to get us off track. It's what do I do with this thing that's presenting itself to me? Is that all right? So the Bible says here, not talking about sin, he's talking about temptation, right? That he's tempted in every which way so that he can grab hold of us when we're tempted, right? We ain't sinned yet. We're being tempted to. But think about this, church. When we even think about sin, what do we think about? We think about kind of breaking the Ten Commandments, right? We think about breaking the law. We think about, you know, murder, adultery, stealing, lying, cheating, right? Gossip, all these things. But I want to show you something here that I've never really thought about before. I think that the temptation that the writer of Hebrews is talking about, church, is not what we would consider to be sin. I think that the temptation that he's talking about is the temptation to fear. He says, think about it. He's come to set us free from the fear of death. Is that right? So what are we being set free from sin in this chapter? Or are we being set free from the fear of death? Do you see this? And then he immediately shifts gears and talks about being tempted. Tempted to do what? I don't think he's talking about sin. I think he's saying we are going to be tempted by the enemy to live in a state of fear. The enemy is going to use circumstances, he's going to use situations to fill our hearts with fear, to fill our hearts with anxiety. We're going to look at things going on in our lives, our children, our finances, our career, ministry, health situations, and fear is going to try to creep in on us. Can I get amen? He's saying, look, Jesus experienced fear. We got to catch something, church. Well, he's the Son of God. I don't think he was ever afraid. I didn't say he was afraid. I said he experienced fear. Because if he didn't experience fear, how can he deliver me when I'm experiencing fear? It says he was made like us in all things. So that means that we have to fight all fear. If we have to stand against fearful things, that means Jesus had to stand against fearful things, because then he could not become merciful, because to be merciful, you have to understand what somebody's going through. Is this making sense? See, church, we get this mindset like circumstances are what's crippling us. That's wrong. The fear of the outcome is what cripples you. circumstances can, we talk about this all the time, right? What's the phrase, Alex? Circumstances don't do what? Circumstances don't make you, they reveal you. Is that right? Right? Circumstances, church, just show you what's going on in your heart. What's the thing I like to say a lot, right? You want to know what's in somebody? Squeeze them. I don't care. You get anything you want. You want to know what's inside of it? Give it a squeeze and it'll come out. So when we get squeezed and something ugly comes out, that's because there's something ugly in there. God is trying to deal with the ugly that's in you. He's trying to deal with the fear. He's trying to deal with the anger. He's trying to deal with the insecurity. He's trying to deal with all this stuff inside of us. But when we pray about whatever's going on that's pressing us, what we're really praying is, God, get rid of this situation. He says, no, I'm using this situation to reveal what's going on in your heart because I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. But see, God will use things in our lives to reveal areas that we would never see otherwise. Can I get an amen? Romans chapter 8, look at this. So then, brethren, we're under obligation. Everybody say, not to the flesh. Not to the flesh. To live according to the flesh. Now again, we would typically think about sin right here. Is that right? But let me show you something. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the, capital S, Holy Spirit, right, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to, oh. Now look, let's back up one verse. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, right? The very next thing that Paul says is that we've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Fear always makes you a slave, right? But you received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Church, look at this. Paul is not talking about sin when he references flesh here. Do you see it? We're not under obligation to the flesh. If we're living according to the flesh, we must die. What is our flesh going to produce according to Paul? Fear. Fear. Everybody say fear with me. Fear. Come on, church. What? You want to know why? Because our human nature is full of self-preservation, right? My brother-in-law's just, one of my brother-in-law turned 40 the other day. They went skydiving. That's what he wanted to do. I said, bro, if I knew the plane was going to crash and we were going to burn up in fire, I'm not sure I'd jump out of a plane because I have some self-preservation. I'm gonna see if this plane will make it rather than jump out, trust a parachute. Can I get amen? Right? I'm old enough, I've gotten hurt enough, where certain things people are like, hey, let's go jump off this. I'm like, I'm good. Yeah. Are you scared? I'm like, no, I'm smart. I'm smart. I know the margin of error is very small in doing that particular activity, and my recovery time is 10 times longer than it was 20 years ago. Is that all right? See, sometimes we got to do smart things or wise things. That doesn't mean that we do things out of fear. Is that all right, church? Almost done. Think about this. As just an earthly father, those of you visiting, we have 4 children. My job is not to be a helicopter parent. I'm just going to look right here right now. I'm not looking at nobody. Or the newer one I've heard is a lawnmower parent. Anybody heard that one? I was like, what's a lawnmower parent? It said it's just somebody that just mows down everything in front of their kids. The helicopter parent is like, you know, they're just constantly monitoring their kids, you know. At some point, your kids are not going to be within helicopter range, y'all. Right? But the lawnmower parents, I'm just going to mow. My kids are never going to face any problem. I'm just going to mow it all down. I'm going to look over here. If you raise your kids like that, they're going to be living at home when they're 45. Look it over here. Your kids need to face problems. They need to fail. They need to get hurt a few times. Can I get amen? My job as a father is to mediate how much trouble I allow to come at a certain stage of their life. Is that right? Are you old enough to be able to handle this kind of a problem? And if they are, I need to allow some of that in because it's how they learn. Pretty sure there's somebody else we're talking about this morning that learned kind of the same way. All right, Jesus, perfected through suffering. Some things came against him as a human, as in his flesh, and it helped him to become everything that he needed to be. We don't like that in church because we're like, are you saying Jesus had to learn stuff? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says, church, multiple places. Can I get amen? So if he had to learn stuff, I think we probably got to learn some stuff. Amen. Think about this. My job as a father, Missy's job as a mother, is to help my kids get strong. Help them overcome their fear. Not move every fearful thing out of the way so they never experience anything fearful. My job is to say, look, there are going to be things in your life that you're going to want to run from, but I want you to run through it. The righteous are bold as a lion, the Bible says. Bold, man. You know what's the opposite of fear? Boldness. Right? God is saying, I want to fill your heart with boldness and courage. God tells Joshua when he's calling Joshua to lead the nation, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous, for I am with you. Look, you're going to face scary things. He's telling Joshua, you're going to face scary things, but man, don't back down. Amen. Church, I'm going to stand up. I'm done right here. There are times, my beloved, and we love these times. I love these times too. I'm not immune. When God will come and calm the storm. We think about the storm in the boat when Jesus is taking a nap on a pillow and they wake him up. And I think the hardest thing about this story is when they shake him awake. You know what they ask him? They shake him. What they say? Don't you care? That's what they asked Jesus. Don't you care? You know what? We're there. Many of us are still there. We pray about a situation. We're going through something, and that's what we're really thinking in our heart. Don't you care, God? And we get excited because Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind and the wave, and it calms down, and they're like, whoa, this is awesome. But then he rebukes them. In church, he rebukes them because before they got in the boat, he said, look, we're going over there. That's where we are going to make it. So whatever happens between when I told you we're going to make it and when we actually do make it, you should be taking a nap in the boat too. Amen. Will God calm our storms? Absolutely. Will he come through at times pretty much the way that we want him to? Absolutely. But my beloved, I think in my life, I'll just say for me, as I've matured a little bit and grown in my faith just a little bit, there's been times when God has not moved the mountain I wanted him to move. There's times he's not delivered the way I thought that he should. But what he has done is he's worked in my heart and say, you know what, I don't care if that mountain moves or it doesn't. I'm going to keep moving. If I got to go over that mountain, I'm going to go over it. Can I get amen? I don't care what comes at me. I don't care what's trying to stop me. I will not back up. I will not give in to fear. I will not give in to anxiety, all these things. Can I get amen? One preacher I heard years ago said this: shame is our attempt to change the past, but worry is our attempt to control the future. Wow. Think about that. When we're worrying about an impending event, it's really our attempt to steer that. But Jesus said, which one of you, by worrying, can do anything about what's coming? Church, I used to be riddled with fear, riddled with anxiety about all kinds of things. And when I say used to be, I'm not talking like 20 years ago. I'm talking like 4 years ago. Pastoring this church, looking at situations and circumstances and going, oh no, oh my goodness, how's that going to work out? How's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? Oh no, money. And every time I start getting sucked in that stuff, I sense the Spirit of God saying, stop looking at that stuff. Stop listening to that voice. Stop. I called you. I have appointed you. I will not fail you. And you're like, okay, but Church, God will not fail your family. Some of you are believing for reconciliation right now. You're in it, man. You're believing for a miracle. Hang in there. Continue to pray. Fight off doubt. Fight off fear. Fight off anxiety. Fight it off. Declare the truth over your family. Can I get amen? Some of you are looking at financial ruin. Declare God's truth over your situation. My God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will. Doesn't say he's going to give you a Bentley, but if you got a car, he's going to make sure you got some money to keep it running. You got a house, he's going to make sure you got some money to keep that house put together. If you got some kids to feed with some mouths, and I got plenty of them myself, he's going to make sure you got some money to put some food in your kids' mouths. Can I get an amen, church? God will not fail you. He will not. Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come right now and ask that you'd help us see fear as not an emotion, not something that I'm helpless against, but as an evil spirit. It's a spirit. And many of us are probably thinking about that scripture. We're not beginning the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind, right? But what's funny is the Greek word for fear is a different word right there. It actually means cowardice, timidity, right? So I can be afraid, but Paul to Timothy, he takes it up a notch right there. So I can be experiencing a fearful situation, but Paul's saying, but then you take it up a notch and you act like a coward. Ouch. He says, you've not been given a spirit of cowardice. You are not a coward. I have filled you with my spirit, says the Lord. The same spirit that raised my son from the dead is living inside of you. There is nothing impossible for you. There's no mountain you can't get over. There's no river you can't cross. When you're in the fire, I'll be with you. When the waters rise, they will not overtake you, says the Lord. Right? All of these scriptures we see over and over and over. You're like, God, why can't you get rid of the fire? He says, I'm not going to. I'm going to let it burn, and I'm going to be in it with you. Why can't you make those waters go somewhere else, God? He says, I could, but I'm not going to. But they're not going to overtake you. When all the dust settles, you're still going to be standing. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, help us to be people that are full of courage, full of strength, God. And Lord, if we get shook, if something's coming at us, help us to not retreat and hide, but reach out to brothers and sisters and say, look, I'm struggling. Here's what I'm going through. I'm struggling. Lord, again, shame is not your portion. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray today that today something shifts in this church, God, in every heart where fear is no longer our portion. We will not surrender to it. We will not succumb to it. We will not bow down to it. But Lord, we will stand against it in the name of Jesus. And we will see victory. We will see breakthrough, God. We will see progress, Father. We will see miracles because, Lord, fear and faith cannot coexist. This is a house, oh God, that will have hearts full of faith. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Bless him. So guys, we do have our barbecue here, but I want to have a little bit of prayer time if somebody needs prayer for anything else. If you want to come up and spend a little time at the altar this morning, that's fine. We will try to keep it quieter in here and respectful. But let's just bless the food, amen, and then we can partake. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you. Thank you for being with us. But Father, again, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, bless the food to our bodies. Let this time of fellowship be sweet and encouraging, and let our hearts, God, be knit together more and more in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. So I think, logistics, what do we got going on? Where's my wife at? All right, so we got a few minutes, everybody. The food is gonna be in here, right? All right, so guys, if you're new with us, food will be in this room here. You can go in this door, please, and then go out the other door. There's some tables set up outside. There's some tables down this end of the building if you don't want to be outside. But all the food is here. The church supplied everything this time around. So drinks, there's hot dogs, hamburgers, and chicken. There's cash or check or Venmo. Apparently, we're going to do Venmo now, too. The boss has spoken. But checks need to be written out to either myself or my wife. This is not going through the church. So we bought all the food. So checks go to us. Cash, if you need change, I think we have some cash in there, I hope. Anyway, so you can hang out a little bit. Food will be ready in just a few moments. So thank you all for coming, and blessings on you. In Jesus' name, amen.